Almost everyone believes that the very first Thanksgiving took place in a place called Plymouth, Massachusetts, in 1621. Folks, that's a long time ago, isn't it? But the fourth Thursday of November was not designated as the national day of the celebration of Thanksgiving until December 26, 1941. Franklin D. Roosevelt was president at the time, and he signed a joint resolution in Congress to make this day a national holiday, and many of us are going to be celebrating it this Thursday. But folks, that day was not first celebrated in 1621. A day of thanks has been celebrated by God's children years and years and years in advance, hasn't it? In fact, if we understand our blessings from God, every day is a day of thanksgiving, is it not? The psalmist said in the long ago, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Psalm 100, verse 4. It was the apostle Paul who declared, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." 1 Thessalonians 5:18. There are literally thousands upon thousands upon thousands of things for which you and I ought to be thankful. And I got to thinking this week, what do I want to preach on with regard to thanksgiving? What is one blessing that I would like to spend about, 2 hours. No, we won't be here that long. A few minutes talking about this evening. Folks, we could talk about all of our physical blessings, could we not? And we have been blessed abundantly. We have plenty of clothes. We have warm houses. We have soft beds in which to sleep. We have plenty of food. We have cars. We have all kinds of luxuries. There is not any of us who are really hurting as far as this world's blessings are concerned. In fact, we have many luxuries, do we not, at our disposal. And we could talk about all of those things. We could even turn to our spiritual blessings, and they are numerous, are they not? There is that one blessing for certain, that is our having been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. My friends, if it were not for God sending His Son into this world, not one of us would have any hope whatsoever of heaven. We would all die in our sins, lost before God Almighty. What a blessing that is. But I'm not going to be talking about physical blessings. I'm not going to be talking about that blessing of redemption. I've got one blessing that I want to talk about this evening. People are saying, "Well, come on now. Tell us what that blessing is." Folks, as I was thinking about my blessings, I thought, you know, I need to talk about the blessing of my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus at Oceanside for a few moments. Is that not a blessing? Absolutely. If Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and I believe that he did, in fact, I have a question that's been given to me about that, and one of these days we're going to spend a little bit of time in an attempt to prove that. But if Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, he wrote 14 books of the New Testament. You go home this evening and you just open up each one of those books that he wrote and you read about 1 to 16 verses of each one of those books. And in 9 of those books, the Apostle Paul gives thanks unto God Almighty for his brothers and sisters in Christ. Folks, those individuals are a spiritual blessing, and Paul understood that. And he lifted up his voice in gratitude to God for them. So tonight, I'm going to talk about why I am thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ at Oceanside specifically. Number one, I am thankful for all of the diversity which exists at the Oceanside Church of Christ. Have you ever looked up the word diversity? It carries this definition: not similar, dissimilar, not alike. I am thankful that all of us are different, aren't you? Basically, what I'm saying is this: I am thankful that this congregation is not all like I am. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? I thought Kathleen would shout amen to that. Folks, it's good that all of us are different, is it not? And the diversity is almost unbelievable. The list of our diversity is long, is it not? There are different personalities in this congregation. There are different age groups in this congregation, running from those that are little to those that are pretty old, right, Ed? Yeah, see there? He knows about that group. I kid him about that all the time. Folks, there are individuals who have different socioeconomic standing within this congregation, aren't there? Some individuals are well off and some individuals are struggling just a little bit as far as their financial condition is concerned. We have all kinds of different educational levels within this congregation. We look at each other and we see that there are gender differences, aren't there? Males and females. We look out in our congregation and we can also see that there are some skin differences as well. Cultural, racial differences between us. If we all got to talking, there would be differences in upbringing, would there not? Different ways and manners in which our parents disciplined us and brought us up, and ways of thinking with regard to child rearing within this congregation. Folks, the differences that are among us are unbelievable, are they not? And I don't know about you, but I thank God that we are not all homogeneous. You know that? I'm glad that we are not all one, that we are not all exactly alike. For you see, those differences enable us to do some things. Number one, they enable us to learn, do they not? Folks, it's nice to be able to sit down with somebody else and talk to them and learn about the differences in the cultures that each one of us have experienced over time. If all of us were exactly the same, there'd be absolutely nothing to learn from one another about all of those things. Secondly, diversity helps us to grow, does it not? It's a wonderful thing to be able to go out into the world and talk to all different kinds of individuals. Individuals who are not like me. Some are higher than I am. Some are lower than I am. Some are older. Some are younger. Some are more educated. Some are less educated. Folks, it's wonderful to be able to function among all of those individuals. But to do that, an individual has to grow, do they not? Also, that diversity enables me to give thanks and be appreciative for every member of this congregation and their differences. Folks, if there were no diversity, then what happens a lot of times is that each one of our little groups separates itself from one another. And oftentimes when those groups are separated from one another, prejudice begins to grow within that group. In other words, we begin to prejudge the others in the other groups, don't we? And we begin to think, well, this individual and this group of individuals, they think this way and they act this way and they're always like this or that. Sometimes that prejudice then turns to anger. And anger oftentimes turns to violence and destruction, doesn't it? And such things should never, ever happen within the body of Christ. And one of the reasons that they don't is this: yes, we are all different. Yes, we are all diverse. But In Christ Jesus, there is a unity that all of us share one with another. It was a big struggle for the church of the first century, was it not? Especially among those who were considered circumcision and uncircumcision. It was believed in their mind in times past, ne'er the twain shall meet. And yet in the church, they were all brought together in one body. The Apostle Paul said, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but a new creature." Galatians 5 verse 16. Folks, it doesn't matter who you are. If you are in the body of Christ, then I should accept you, and you and I need to grow and learn and appreciate one another in Christ. And I'm thankful for the diversity at Oceanside. Secondly, I am thankful for all the talents of my brothers and sisters in Christ at this congregation. I'm reminded of Jesus' parable of the talents in Matthew, the 25th chapter. For Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain man which traveled into a far country, which called unto him his servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability." In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul begins in verse 4 with these words, "There are diversities of gifts, but one Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but one Lord. There are diversities of operations, but there is one God, which is all in all." Folks, there's a lot of different talents. There's a lot of different abilities that are all brought together in one body in Christ in this congregation. I am amazed how many song leaders we have at Oceanside, you know it. Folks, I've been in some little country churches that didn't have one song leader. Oh, now, they had somebody who led singing. But he weren't no song leader. That's bad English, but that's just the way it was. He got up there and he started the songs and everybody else just took off. But folks, we've got a lot of men who are good song leaders. And they give us consistency each week, even though we may have 6 or 7 men standing in this pulpit leading the singing. Every one of them do a good job, don't they? It's amazing to me too that in such a small congregation, I can leave this congregation and we don't have to look anywhere else other than within ourselves for someone to preach and teach. Did you know that? And it's amazing how good a job those individuals do. You almost look forward to my leaving. They do so good. Folks, it's wonderful to be able to leave and know that the classroom is filled and the pulpit is filled and you don't have to worry about that at all. Isn't that a great thing? We've got some great teachers in this congregation. And I'm especially grateful for all of those ladies who teach those little children. You know that? Folks, if you've never taught little ones, you don't appreciate what those women do. You know that? I'll guarantee you. They spend hours preparing their material. They spend hours preparing all of those little extras. They spend hours decorating their rooms. And then they have to go in those rooms with those little knuckleheads. And they're in there and they're patient and they teach them and they train them in the ways of God. Folks, thank God we have women who are willing to teach those little ones. You know that? I'm thankful that we have individuals who are willing to donate their time and their talents to taking care of this building. Folks, there's individuals who come to this building and some of us have no clue that those individuals have come. They've changed the lights. They've painted doors. They've changed out locks. They've done all kinds of things that are needed on the inside of this building. Then there's those that take care of the outside. We don't have goats. that eat the grass out there. Somebody has to come and take care of the grass, do they not? And make it presentable. Folks, we got individuals who are willing to give their time in order to take care of those kind of things. We ask for food, and guess what? There's food, isn't there? We ask for individuals to come help on a certain day, and guess what? We'll have a crowd of individuals, 33 people this afternoon. Folks, that's a lot of folks in this congregation to give up an hour to an hour and a half of sleep time. You know it? That's what you do, isn't it? Had to miss a ball game to come and take care of that house-to-house stuff. I didn't see anybody pouting and crying at all. Glad to be here, folks. You see, individuals in this congregation have talents. And folks, the only way that the work of this church gets done is for every member to use their talents to the utmost of their ability, to the glory of the Almighty God. And aren't you thankful we all don't have the same talents? What if you had the talent of a preacher? The only thing you can do is put stickers on house to house other than preach. That's pretty bad, isn't it? But I can do that. I'm glad that we have people who have a diversity of gifts and are willing to give those gifts to this congregation and to the service of the Almighty God. Thirdly, I am thankful for the brothers and sisters at Oceanside because they love and they desire the proclamation of the truth of the gospel of Christ. The Apostle Paul told the young Timothy, "Preach the word," 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Jesus said in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." When Paul told Timothy to preach the word, he was telling him, "Timothy, you better stand in the pulpit and you better preach the truth to those individuals." Folks, did you know there's a lot of congregations who do not want the truth of the gospel of Christ proclaimed in their hearing? There are three big areas wherein individuals do not want the truth proclaimed oftentimes. Number one, moral issues. Don't you preach about abortion. Don't you preach about homosexuality. Don't you preach about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and adultery. Don't you do that. And folks, the very moment a man does it, he's called to the carpet, and if he does it again, he's fired in many churches. The elders and the brethren don't want it in many places. Secondly, there's brotherhood issues. And folks, there's a bunch of those, isn't there? Instrumental music, the use of women in the assembly and in leadership positions within the church. There are some places you just don't talk about those kind of things. Shh! Don't mention all those praise teams that are being used today in various congregations. And then there's a third biggie, and this is probably one of the most difficult, and that's political issues, folks. You know, it's funny to me that we act as if God has never, ever, ever, ever talked about politics in the Bible. Guess who gave government? God did. Guess who legislated about government and what they are supposed to do? God did. We can turn in the Bible and we can read those passages of Scripture, can we not? And yet, in some places, we believe, shh, don't talk about politics. Folks, those things need to be talked about. One of the reasons we're in such dire straits today is because we have quit talking about those things in many places. And it's wonderful to know that a preacher can stand in the pulpit, and it doesn't matter what subject it is, as long as it is found in the Word of God, he has the freedom and the ability to preach, folks. It may not always be pleasant. It may not always be something that tickles our ears. But folks, as long as it's the truth, individuals come out to me and they say, "Vic, that was a good lesson." And I'm thankful for that. We turn into the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3 and we read of seven churches of Asia, don't we? And there's all kinds of commendations and there's all kinds of condemnations about which you read in all of those churches. The first church address is the church at Ephesus. And I find it interesting that they are commended for their stand for truth. I know thy works, Jesus said, and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and how thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. That's verse 2. You drop down to verse 6 of chapter 2, still talking to Ephesus, and Jesus says this to that church: and this thou hast also, that thou hatest the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Folks, what is he talking about? He's talking about doctrinal soundness in the church at Ephesus, isn't he? You have apostles who are coming into this congregation. They are false apostles. They are liars. And what do? You tolerate them? No. You try them. And you found them to be liars. There's a doctrine that's circulating, and it is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. It opposes the truth of the gospel. It's something that I hate, and you hate it as well. And I commend you for that. Most congregations need to understand that it's the truth that sets men free, John 8:32. That God wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. And that we are to buy the truth and sell it not, Proverbs 23, verse 23. Truth, and only truth, is going to allow us to stand as the church of Christ. And folks, it's wonderful to get in a congregation where brothers and sisters love truth. Point number 4. I am thankful for the brothers and sisters at Oceanside for their faithfulness to God. I made mention of the fact that Paul addressed 9 churches or individual Christians and gave thanks for them. 4 of those churches he commends for their faithfulness. One of them was the church at Rome. First, I thank my God always for you all, that your faith is spread throughout the whole world. Folks, here was a congregation whose faith was known to everybody everywhere. Here was a church that worked. Here was a church that was steadfast. Here was a church that was doing the work of the Almighty God. And Paul says, first, I thank God for your faithfulness. You turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, and there we find another church commended for their faithfulness. The Apostle Paul says, I thank God for you all, making mention of you in my prayers. Listen to what he says. For your work of faith, for your labor of love, for your patience of hope in Christ Jesus and in the sight of God and our Father. Paul says, Thessalonica, I am thankful for your work. I'm thankful for your labor. I'm thankful for your patient endurance in Christ Jesus. I got to thinking, out of all the folks that are on the roll at Oceanside, and I'd assume there's probably about 100 on the rolls. It's kind of aggravating somewhat, because if everybody would come, we'd have about 110 here, 130 with our visitors sometime. But folks, out of all those individuals, about 75 to 100 people, or 75 to 80, are faithful to the Almighty God. What do I mean by faithfulness? Folks, I'm talking about individuals who take their worship and their Bible study seriously. I need to be there. I want to be there. And every time the doors are open, I'm going to make every possible effort I can and make certain that I show up. One reason I preach that sermon tonight is because tonight the faithful are here, folks. You know that? The faithful come on Sunday evenings. The faithful come on Wednesday nights, don't they? I'm talking about individuals who, if you say, hey, we have a work to do, their response is immediately this: here am I, send me. Whatever it is, I'll do everything I possibly can to assist in that labor. Individuals who are willing to give of their time, their talents, and even their money for the cause of Christ, folks. We're talking about individuals who are not all caught up in carnal things, but they are dead serious about spiritual things. They have their priorities straight. For them, the kingdom of God and His righteousness is of utmost priority in their lives. Faithful brethren. And folks, we've got a bunch of good, faithful, solid brethren in the church, don't we? You see, so oftentimes we preach to those who aren't faithful, don't we? Trying to encourage them, trying to get them back, trying to get them to do the right thing. And we forget the faithful. And folks, they're the majority. And they need to be encouraged and appreciated for their faithfulness in Christ Jesus. And Paul got on his knees and he gave thanks for those kind of individuals in congregations of the Lord's people. Point number 5. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ who are willing to grow. You look around at Christians and what you see are two or three different categories of Christians. There are some Christians who are in the very same spot today as they were 1 year ago. They haven't grown in their knowledge. They haven't grown in their application of truth. They haven't grown in any of their works as far as the church is concerned. They are in the exact same spot today as they were a year ago. Just kind of stuck. There's another group. This group is moved. But folks, the sad part is they haven't moved forward. They move backward in their practice of Christianity. They're not in the same spot today as they were last year. Oh no, they're farther back than what they used to be. They're very slowly drifting from their steadfastness. And folks, that's a dangerous condition in which to find ourselves. Therefore, we ought to give them earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hebrews 2 verse 1. In the American Standard Version, it says this, lest happily we drift away from them. You pull up a boat to a dock and you fail to tie that boat off, what happens? Very slowly, it just begins to drift away, doesn't it? You might not even know it at first. You get off the boat, everything seems fine. You go in, you have lunch, you come out, and guess what? Boat's out in the middle of the water because it wasn't anchored solidly. We have Christians like that in the body of Christ. And third group. Folks, that's the group who's moved too. They're not stagnant. They're not moving backward. Oh no, this is a group that is moving forward in their Christian lives. They're practicing what Peter said to practice in 2 Peter 3 verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they're growing. And you can see it. And it's wonderful to see. You know that? You want to know how it's evidenced? They attend the worship services. They attend the Bible classes. They attend those special classes on other nights of the week. For you see, they understand that the way for me to really grow is to hunger and thirst after righteousness. To desire the sincere milk of the Word, because it is that way that I grow thereby. 1 Peter 2 verse 2. And they're eager and they're hungry and they want the Word of God. It's the only way that I'm going to nourish my soul. Secondly, they are individuals who are involved in the works of the church. Last year, they may not have been involved as much. And now all of a sudden, they realize, you know, I need to be active. And I need to give of my time. And maybe they choose one, maybe two works within the church. And they say, that's where I'm going to spend a little bit of my time this year. Folks, they move from being followers to being leaders in the body of Christ. They move from being, listen to me, mere disciples to being teachers within the church as well. All of us need to constantly be disciples, do we not? We all have to continue to be learners. But folks, there comes a time when you have to move from being a learner to being a teacher as well. And those individuals raise their hands and they say, hey, it's time for me to start teaching some other individuals. They move from being an individual who is needy to being someone who is needed in the body of Christ. Folks, there's a growing person, is it not? You see, so oftentimes individuals look at the church as something to come and get something from, rather than something to come to and give to. A person who grows, move from just needing stuff all the time to finally being able to give of themselves to the body of Christ. And it's fun to watch Christians grow, is it not? Folks, you look at those individuals and guess what? Those individuals are excited, aren't they? Almost sickening excited. To some brethren, you know what? They make brethren uncomfortable. Because they're constantly talking about what? Spiritual things. I don't care who won the ball game. They're concerned about the truth of God's Word and the work of the church. You see, they've grown past this old world and the mundane things that are found therein. They're excited. Folks, you look at those individuals and guess what you understand? You understand that Christianity is real and it is genuine and it can make an impact upon the life of another person. Paul wrote to that church again at Thessalonica, a second letter. 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that, listen to him, your faith increaseth exceedingly. Folks, here was a congregation whose faith was growing on a regular basis. He goes on to say this, and your charity, which ye have one toward another, aboundeth. Here are a group of Christians that Paul could look to and he can say, wow, man, they are growing, they are excited, they are maturing, they are doing everything they need to do to become full grown in Christ Jesus. And Paul said, I am thankful that I've got a church that I can look to that's like that. Folks, that's a wonderful thing to see one Christian in the body of Christ doing better today than they did even a week ago or 2 weeks ago. That's exciting. Individuals who overcome sin. Individuals who are more stalwart. Individuals who are more evangelistic. Individuals who are more caring. Individuals who are more loving. Individuals who are more concerned. Folks, those are growing Christians. They understand they'll never do enough. Folks, you can't do enough. We need to quit worrying about doing enough. What we need to do is keep growing and doing what we can. That's what we need to do. And that's what God's concerned about. It's wonderful to see Christians growing in Christ. Point number 6. I am thankful for brothers and sisters who support the work of the church. Folks, it's just a reality that a church can only do as much as they are financially capable of doing. Isn't that true? We live in a society where money is our medium of exchange, is it not? And if we're going to do certain things, it's going to cost money to do it. And it's wonderful when brethren understand that it takes money and it takes funds in order to run the church. And they begin to readjust their finances. And they begin to take finances from things that are carnal and begin to devote them to things that are spiritual in nature. The Apostle Paul thanked God for a church like that, didn't he? Paul said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you all, making mention of you in my prayers, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." Philippians 1, 3 through 5. Folks, here was a church that understood that a preacher must be supported in his labors in preaching the gospel of Christ. And over and over and over, those individuals were willing to give to Paul when others would not. This church is willing to give, are they not? Folks, I've seen it at least three or four times in very special ways since I've been at this congregation. You know that. Got here almost 2 years ago, and a trip to Costa Rica was on the agenda. Scheduled to pay for 8 people. 13 sign up. We got problems. We didn't budget that much. So what do? We come before the congregation. We say, "Hey guys, we need some money to help support this particular work." And this church pours out about $5,000 in order to get those individuals into the mission field, folks. That's people who care about the work of the church, isn't it? We stand before this congregation and we do things like we have up here on the table, and we say, "Hey, you know, we need food for our Thanksgiving baskets." Folks, that's over and beyond what you give in your regular contribution, isn't it? And you reach down and you give $5, $10, $15, $20, $30, $50 worth of food in order to help out on those Thanksgiving baskets. I'm going to be interested to see how we get all of that in 4 baskets tonight. 4 baskets. Going to be some big old baskets. Aren't they? Not long ago, the elders came before this congregation and said, "Hey guys, we need money because our contingency fund is getting lower and lower." And they set a goal of $5,000 and you give $13,000. Folks, that's amazing. You know that? That tells me there's some individuals in this congregation who understand that the work has got to be funded. I know teachers who dig down into their pockets, don't ask the church, do not get reimbursed, and they do all kinds of things in their Bible classes out of their own pockets, folks, and never ask for one red cent. I know teachers who do that. I know members of the congregation who do that in various ways and just donate to the congregation various kinds of goods because they want to do that, and they understand that they need to give if the church is going to be successful. And I thank God, just like Paul did for those Philippians, that we have brethren who are willing to reach down in their pockets and give to the cause of Christ. Folks, there's a lot of wonderful blessings, aren't there, that you and I can be thankful for. But I'll tell you what, one of the best ones that I give thanks for are my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And tonight what we've done is we've taken a big blessing and we've broken it up into several areas, haven't we? And we've talked about a lot of different things. Thankful for your diversity. Thankful for your talents. Thankful for your stand for the truth. Folks, what we need to do as Christians is we need to take all of those big blessings that you and I have been given and we need to break them up into little components. And all of a sudden, you want to know what you'll understand? I've got blessings that I've never considered before. I've got blessings that I've never thought about. And I am blessed in ways that I have never really ever considered. This Thursday, National Day of Giving of Thanks, folks. And we hope when that day comes, you'll bow before the throne of God and give thanks. Giving thanks to God and the Father through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 20. But folks, don't let that be the only day you think about thanksgiving. We are blessed more than we will ever know. And shame on us. Shame on us for not failing to see those blessings and give gratitude to the giver of every good and perfect gift. Folks, the greatest gift ever given was Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave. And He gave His only Son as a perfect sacrifice for mankind. And that precious blood can redeem us from all iniquity, can it? It can redeem the alien sinner if he'll obey the gospel through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism in water for the forgiveness of sins. But what's so unique is this. That same blood. You see, oftentimes we think, okay, I've been saved by the blood, and we don't think about the blood very much anymore. But folks, every time I sin and I repent of that and I go to God and ask for forgiveness, that same blood cleanses me, the Christian, of my sins. What a blessing. To be able to stand before God justified. Is that where you stand tonight? We pray that you do. If not, you need to make yourself right in the sight of God. You need to respond to this invitation. Won't you come as together we stand and sing.